Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer for you, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. So welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Our theme for the month is mercy. We see that word quite often in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We see that word being used particularly in the Synoptic Gospels, where people would see or sense Jesus coming, and they would cry out, "Lord, have mercy upon me." And Jesus recognized that as a positive thing, somebody requesting mercy. And in all of those instances, he had mercy on those people that were asking for it. So the blind men begging for sight, he had mercy. Well, what did he do in extending mercy? He gave them sight.
Yes.
The lepers who were begging for mercy, what did he do? He cleansed them. So a lot of times we think of mercy as in terms of what God withholds from us. But in the Synoptic Gospels, we see mercy in terms of what God bestows upon us. Yes. So mercy is a very active word, God doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. That's why we cry out mercy. I'm in this helpless and hopeless situation, and if somebody is going to free me from it, somebody is going to heal me from this, from whatever it is, then they have to extend mercy. And that's really what the definition is. In the Old Testament, the words for mercy convey this deep, kindly sorrow felt for another who has been struck with an affliction or misfortune accompanied by a desire to relieve the suffering. So there's this sorrow inside of a person's heart, but attached to that sorrow is a desire to help somebody out of their affliction. That's what we see in God. He sees our pitiful conditions, and yet there's something moving him to act on our behalf, to lift us out of that. In the New Testament, we see it's an active pity. It's extending help for the consequence of sin. It's to have compassion or mercy on a person in unhappy circumstances. It actually means to bestow salvation upon someone. And we see that time and time again. So this word mercy is a very powerful word. And when we cry out, "Lord, have mercy upon us," we're going to see God do some amazing things in our lives. And so that's what we're going to be talking about all month. There are so many wonderful passages in the New Testament that are going to help us really understand what this mercy is all about. And we'll just have hearts overflowing with gratitude because of the mercy God has shown us in Christ Jesus.
Yes, indeed. It's Basic Gospel. The phone lines are lighting up. I'm going to give the number, then we're going to get right to it. 844-322-2742 in Canada and the U.S. We'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Jason in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hi, Jason.
Hello. Hello. Thanks for taking my call there.
You are welcome.
I love you guys. I love your ministry. My question is in regards to Romans 3:31. Now that we're free from the law and led by the Spirit now, how do we understand what Paul is talking about here? You know, I know that, you know, I can't you know, achieve or do the things under the law anymore. I mean, that's why Christ came to give us his new life and his Spirit. Can you help me understand what Paul's talking about here with Jew and Gentile, and when he says, you know, in 31 there, that rather we uphold the law, and, you know, what is he talking about in that instance?
Okay. So it's a very good question, Jason. And chapter 3 and chapter 4 of the book of Romans really touches on the fact that God justifies us freely by his grace. That powerful passage in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace. Well, what is God's act in justification? Well, it's declaring us righteous. It's God's act to declare us righteous. And why he does that is because he who knew no sin, Jesus, became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. So Jesus Christ took our sins from us, Jason. He took them upon himself, and then he offered himself as that once for all sacrifice for sin. So our penalty, our condemnation, went upon Jesus. In exchange, he gave us righteousness. So when we receive Christ by faith, we're upholding his act to fulfill the law on our behalf. So, Jason, as far as you're concerned, the law has been fulfilled for you by Jesus Christ. Your sins were judged. Your sins were punished. Jesus took the judgment. Jesus took the punishment. So when you receive that forgiveness that Jesus offers, you are recognizing what he has accomplished. So in essence, you are upholding the law. Does that make sense to you? So let me put it this way. Let me put it this way. So I don't know if you're married or not, but let's assume that you are, and you do something to cause harm to your wife. You apologize. You recognize what you've done. You go to her and say, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And she says, "I forgive you." Well, when you receive that forgiveness, you are admitting that you are guilty of that act. So to receive forgiveness, you have to admit that you're guilty, right? If you don't admit you're guilty, you don't need forgiveness. So in that admission of guilt, you receive forgiveness. So the law declares us guilty. So when we receive forgiveness, we're upholding what the law said about us, that we were guilty and in need of punishment. So when we receive the forgiveness and the justification that God gives us in Christ, we are agreeing with what the law says. In essence, we're upholding it.
Okay, so it's not saying that now that I'm saved, I can go out and uphold the Ten Commandments and the moral
ceremony, not at all.
And all those things.
Not at all. It's just saying that you agree with what the law said about you, that you're a sinner.
Okay.
That's all it's saying. So you agree, and in that agreement, you're upholding the very purpose of the law.
Yeah.
And
that
purpose of the law was to show you your sinfulness.
Yeah, you allowed the law to do exactly what it was designed to do, and you have allowed Jesus to do exactly what he was designed to do and provide the victory.
Well, great. Well, thank you very much for that answer, and thanks. I appreciate it.
Well, you're so welcome, Jason. Thanks for your call today. Excellent, excellent question. And this is one of those verses, Jason, that many people get hung up on. And there's a lot of folks that would teach, see, it's saying we need to uphold the law, so therefore we need to go and continue to live in obedience to those Ten Commandments instead of walking by faith in Jesus. And that's not what that passage is teaching at all.
All right. All right, great. Thanks.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, let's go to New York to John listening to us on WMCA. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. How are you? How's everything?
Well, it's doing great. How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing good. You don't remember me, but I remember you. King's College.
I remember you. Richard remembers you. You've got that distinct voice.
Yes.
And
you talking to me?
Both is. We had a great time there.
We did.
I just want to tell you, you guys are so good and so great. I listen to the radio every day. And you know, when people call, even if they don't understand, or maybe you guys will just talk to them with such love and such kindness. It's no one on the radio. I hear that. You know, guys don't even get upset or frustrated or agitated. I got to tell you, man, that's wonderful. That alone help us to lead us to Jesus. That alone. And then when you go on talking about the Lord, it's just great. So I just got to tell you that. That's only one thing. But I also got to tell you about God's grace and mercy. It's so phenomenal in my life. I know it's in everybody's life. I did a tape about a year or two ago. A friend of mine has a studio, and he tapes me out. And all I want to do is talk about God's word. Well, it's amazing. It's on TV now, and it touched a few people that came up to me and told me that, John, I didn't know that you were Christian. And I says, yeah, I love talking about the Jesus. And how God is using that to reach people in my own neighborhood. I can't believe it.
Well, John, will you do this for us? Will you send that link to us so that we can point our listeners to it as well?
Yeah, please.
We would love to do that.
I'll send it to you, mail it to you, or how do you work do it?
Well, I'll put you on hold, and we'll pick up with you, and you just give the information, or we can give you an email address. You could actually just send it to me at this email address, bob@basicgospel.net, bob@basicgospel.net, very simple.
It sounds great, I'll tell you, but you guys, I appreciate, we all appreciate you over here in New York. You guys are a real deal. I just
love you. We love our New Yorkers, and we are so privileged to be on WMCA, so privileged to be in that city. Thank you for letting us be a part of your life, John, and for goodness sakes, we're so pleased that you're a part of ours.
And Jesus is there for all of us.
Yes, he is.
Every one of us. But I'll get that tape to you one way or another.
Okay, perfect. We'll look forward to it, John. Thanks.
Thank you, guys. God bless you.
And you too.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Los Angeles, California, and talk to our friend Antoine. Hi, Antoine.
Hey, how you guys doing? I know you guys don't, but I was just listening to the two brothers, man. I was writing stuff down, man. You guys touching me when even what I was calling about. But I too got messages that I'm able to teach in my church that I've got from listening to you guys, and it has definitely touched my life too. But I had a question about I got a buddy that just had a stroke the other day, and I was wondering, what's the what do you think happens with that? Is it like you say you don't recover from it, you just like you dead already, or is it like you still alive, or you know, what do you think happens with the strokes and like people that special and stuff like that?
Well, Antoine, you know, somebody that suffers a stroke, I mean, there's all different degrees of the damage, you know. There, you know, medications, there are people that have had strokes today that they get to the hospital very quickly, they're given a medication and those symptoms are totally reversed and it's as if they never had the stroke. Others suffer mentally, you know, some part of the brain is messed up, and so certain functions within the brain, sometimes it's the communication center. So someone may not be able to talk or communicate like they once did, but that doesn't mean they can't understand what they're hearing, what's going into the brain. So there are those sort of things. We have a good friend in Washington, D.C. that had a stroke like that. You know, he has a hard time communicating, but he can understand what you're saying and can communicate through other ways. So all that varies as far as the extent of the damage. Some people suffer physically where they're paralyzed or unable to use you know, either the right or left portion of their bodies. But when it comes to the Word of God, the Word of God is able to penetrate down into the human spirit. That's where that communication occurs. So with your friend, you just keep speaking the Word of God to them. And let God and the Holy Spirit take that message deep within his human spirit. And you may not ever be able to know if that guy's comprehending or not, but you do have to recognize that God is certainly bigger and more powerful than what's happened, and he can certainly get his message into the human spirit.
Okay. All right, yeah. I know I'm probably going to go to the hospital and visit them, so I was just thinking about, you know, what do you do in that case? But I guess you just pretend like they can hear you and let God do the rest, huh?
Yeah, just be there, and hopefully he'll know who you are. Hopefully he'll know that you're there, and just talk to him. Just you know, if y'all were basketball fans together, talk to him about you know, the Lakers are still mucking it up. And...
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. And then tell them about, you know, what you're learning in Christ, and read a passage of scripture to them, and just be his buddy.
Okay.
We'll
do.
All right. Thank you, Antoine. Thanks for calling.
I keep hearing your comments, and I just know one of these days you're going to want to do a whole sports show somewhere. You just are. Hey, friends, you know, getting the word out, it's what we do at Basic Gospel. And, of course, we love sharing that Jesus is alive, offering his love, his grace, his life, and his forgiveness. And when you partner with us, you're a part of that as well. You know, we hear calls practically every day from people who need to hear the truth. And if that's you, if what you've heard on Basic Gospel has benefited you, we ask you to share in the blessing by joining us in supporting the gospel of Basic Gospel when you with your prayers and with your gifts. That's the primary reason we give through Basic Gospel or to do so. But, you know, for your gift of any amount this month, you're going to receive a copy. I was still thinking about your almost comment on sports there. Anyway, you'll receive a copy of Bob Christopher's study guide, the accompanying study guide of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Just click donate on any page at basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator, Billy, at 844-412-2742. Again, that's 844-412-2742. We encourage you, friends, to make your gift today to keep the good news coming and receive your copy of the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Waco, Texas, and talk with Melissa. Hi, Melissa.
Hi. I'm so glad y'all took my call. I've heard you speak on the topic of tongues before, and I'm the church I attend, the Pentecostal church. I have this, my son started going and he's on fire for the Lord and everything, but he says that, my preacher says that we have to, as proof of having the Holy Spirit, that is the talking in tongues. And, I've just debated with my son over and over of this because he's basically saying that all of us are misled and we're not saved. And so I was wondering if you could direct me into some scripture, because what I've read over and over again is not saying that in my opinion. But if there's, you know, something y'all could tell me about that, this proof, you know, that in other words, we're not saved unless we speak in tongues is the way this is there. And I just, it's not what I read.
Well, absolutely, Melissa, there's absolutely no verse in the Word of God that would teach that doctrine. Speaking in tongues really was an evangelical gift. The apostles stood up on the day of Pentecost. They spoke the word of God. Those that were there heard it in their own language. They heard the wonders of God being expressed to them in their native tongue. And that was a powerful testimony as to what was happening. Then when Peter went to the Samaritans, and went to Cornelius, they spoke in tongues. That was a sign to the Jews that the gift of God's Spirit had been given to the Samaritans and to the Gentiles. That was something that they never dreamed possible, that God would give them, the Samaritans and the Gentiles, the same gift of the Spirit that he had given to the Jews. So they needed proof of that. So that was a sign gift for the unbelieving Jews. In the sense that they didn't believe that the Spirit was going to be given to the Gentiles. That was a sign gift to them, proving that indeed God was giving this gift of the Holy Spirit to anyone who called on the name of Jesus Christ. Paul spoke in tongues as he went out around the world. He did so to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's not a gift that proves that we're saved. And not everyone has it. God dispenses gifts at his discretion, not ours. And so he gives some the gift of teaching, some the gift of encouragement, some the gift of this and that and the other. But
yes,
that's God. That's God's doing. But here's what the Bible really teaches us about the Spirit of God. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So what's the real sign that we have been born of God and filled with His Spirit and dwelt with
that
His Spirit?
That we're loving people.
That we're loving people. That
exactly
is God.
Right.
That is
feel.
God's
yeah.
language. That's the yes, language sir. He wants that. Us to speak. And it's not an ushy-gushy feeling. It is rolling up your sleeves and getting into action. It's being patient with people. It's being kind with people. It's persevering with people. It's all of those action things that love moves us to do. And the reason that we do that is because we've been compelled by the Spirit of God to do so. So that's the real sign that we've been filled. And even Jesus said, you will know that you're my disciples by your love one for another.
Yes. That is consistent throughout the whole New Testament. I mean, you just quoted Jesus. You quoted the Apostle John. If you look in the end of 1 Corinthians 12, as it bleeds into 1 Corinthians 13, you have exactly the same thing. Love is the issue, not spiritual gifts.
Thank you. That I have goosebumps because it's exactly what I've read and I've told him, my son, and he just said something about you have proof of that. You give the Lord control over your language and you have full utterance or whatever. And he was reading something to me, but that's exactly my heart. What I believe, what y'all just said, is what I felt and what I've read myself. So thank y'all very much. I really appreciate it. It's sad because I don't, you know, want this to be the division between my son, because I was going to the church and I'm glad he's in the church, but he's 16, but he's on fire for the Lord. But I just, what he's going around telling all of us that we're going to hell, and it's just so scary to, you know, at first I was like, oh God, you know, but I've listened to y'all so many times. So thank you. I'm going to take those confirmations from the Lord, because I said, if I get on, Lord, and if they say basically what I feel, and that's just to me confirmation. So thank y'all, and God bless y'all very much.
Melissa, mm-hmm. your son is on fire right now, and he's got some misunderstandings.
Right.
Stay loving him, because he's going to go face first into a wall one of these days on this belief
really?
System.
Okay.
Be there for him. Love him just like the Spirit is having you do.
Okay, you're right.
And here's what we're
going to
do.
Uh-huh.
Here's what we're going to do, Melissa. I have a book called uh-huh. Love Is. I want to send to you.
Yeah.
And then we have a CD on spiritual gifts that we can send to you as well, okay?
Well, thank y'all. That's so sweet, y'all. Thank y'all very much.
You hold the line
Thanks.
And we'll get that to you.
Thanks
okay.
for your call, Melissa.
Well, thank
All
you
right.
for taking my call.
All right, bye-bye. Well, that is an important topic, isn't
yes.
it?
And critical.
Yeah, to really understand what the language of God is. Mm-hmm. And it is truly the language of love. And
yes.
like I said, that's not an ushy-gushy feeling. That's not, just warm, fuzzy stuff. I mean, it is real action stuff.
Yes.
We see God's love in action when Jesus died on a cross. That was a demonstration of God's love, his act to make us alive together with Christ. That's an act of love. And so as he comes to live inside of us, we're going to see these acts of love, this fruit of love being spilled over from our lives into the lives of others. And that's what this basic gospel is all
yes.
about. And as we started today's program, it all begins with mercy. God had mercy upon us. He acted graciously toward us in bestowing salvation upon us and giving us the gift of God's Spirit so that we could love one another as Christ has loved us.
Yes. Absolutely. I want to continue to remind you, friends, that for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month, our gift back to you is the brand-new Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide. It's the perfect companion to Bob Christopher's best-selling book, Simple Gospel Simply Grace. And through this study guide, you're going to discover the foundational truths of the gospel, helping you to move confidently into the new covenant and all that it holds for believers. All you have to do is click donate on any page at basicgospel.net, that's basicgospel.net, or phone and speak with our operator, Billy, at 844-412-2742. Again, that phone number, 844-412-2742. Stay in touch with Basic Gospel also while you're on the go by downloading our app. It's available now. We also invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and click subscribe on any page to subscribe to our newsletter. We would really love for you to be a part of the email list.
Well, now for Bob and Richard, ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you will too. Bye-bye.